and welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of several books, including her latest, The Jesus Book. And I'm your host, Suzanne Maresca. We're so happy to be back on the air after our little hiatus. In that time, we've all gone through some of the most powerful frequency shifting this planet may have ever seen. Perhaps we've arrived at a point in our evolution where any limitation we experience is based on what conditioning we still hold on to. What really is possible for us? It's a fabulous time to think big. Jesus Ananda is our very welcome guest today, and the discussion will be around what's been going on and how to move forward in love during these sacred days of what feels like discreation. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and good morning, everybody. And yes, I ditto what you're saying is that it's great to be back.
Yeah.
And, hey, yeah. In the meanwhile, we all... The Enlight crew and many others went to Sedona and had a wonderful family reunion.
Yes.
So it's not like we've just been sitting in Port St. Lucie, Florida, or in New Jersey and eating bonbons.
No, my gosh, the Sedona trip was life-altering. I mean, the energies that were taking place that week in particular, and just being in Sedona, and just it was just beyond imagination, frankly.
Yeah, it's an incredible city of light. And one of the things that I really observed about being in Sedona, having lived there, 20 years ago, for about 9 years, starting 20 years ago, and just feeling the energy is that how it spiritually matured, not only the city of light, but the energy, in the very air we were breathing, was very spiritually evolved. It's interesting. I'd never recognized that anywhere else I've been.
Yeah. I agree with you. Everybody was happy.
Everybody was happy, and certainly they were grounded as well. I mean, even though we were flying high, people were grounded. It was a wonderful experience, yeah.
It was. It truly was. So there's lots of news going on. You're having a webinar coming up, for one.
I am having a webinar. It's on the winter solstice, which is what we are doing is broadcasting it on December 21st. And it is a situation where you need to register. The webinar is free. But in order for you to be basically on the broadcast list, you need to register on our website. Now, having said that, early this morning we discovered that our website is down, and I'm not quite sure what that's about, but the provider has reassured us that it should be up any minute because they told us that hours ago, and they said 3 hours. So you need to go on the Council of Love website, councilofloveoflove.com, and register for this wonderful webinar. And there's been a tradition that every December around Christmas time, Jesus Ananda gives a Christmas message. And it's always an incredibly powerful, uplifting, full of insight channeling. And it's reflection and assessment and insight onto what's transpired in the year coming to a close. Mm-hmm. And insight on what lies ahead. So it's something that I'm really hoping that we can all come together and receive that energy. And basically prepare and celebrate.
Absolutely.
About what's coming up.
Yeah,
because as you say, time is to dream big.
Heck yeah. Well, I've registered. I'm looking forward to it too. And we're also... On the 2nd of January will be, that's when we're recording. I guess we may as well air it too. We're having a roundtable with you and Steve Becco and myself. And what's our topic?
the topic is basically, I think I'm going to steal Steve's phrase, is where are we?
Mm-hmm.
What lies ahead? And I think what he said is, what do light workers do while we're waiting? And, it was interesting because even when the three of us were chatting, there was, I think, some difference in perspectives in terms of where we are and how we're perceiving, you know, the external events mm-hmm. and our internal progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that probably our little triangle, our triad, reflects how people, you know, in our listening, reading, viewing audience are feeling too. And then it changes, of course, on any given day.
That's true. That's true.
And so I think it's a chance for us to, you know, compare notes. And I know we haven't talked about it, but I would encourage people to write in and pose questions that, you know, things, areas that they want to have discussed.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So that we, when we come together, we want to not only talk about what we're feeling and experiencing, but what you're feeling and experiencing as well.
Yeah. You can write those questions into the Contact Us on Golden Age of Gaia site. You could send a message on Facebook. And however. Okay, so we'll do with that.
Send a message to send a telegram.
Send a psychic little message
yeah.
there.
Send a carrier pigeon.
You know what, though? I actually do think that we pick up on messages that people want, because it just people have always said to me that we cover on the show what they want to hear. So that's nice.
I think that we are far more psychically, intuitively connected than people generally acknowledge.
Oh, yes, that's true. And I will just say that on the 11/11 in Sedona, the message that I got, and I'm sure that this is not just a message for me, but it was, let me see, unification has happened and the merge is complete.
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty good to me.
You know, I don't tend to read a lot of other people's website, but it seems that the message, that the consistency of the message, that we really are and people are feeling that we are in a new vibration, a new octave, that it's really anchoring in people. And so I think we're going forward, you know, according to the divine plan.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that came forward in Sedona and that you and Steve and I and other people have talked about was that first Universal Mother Mary, and then confirmed and further discussed by Archangel Michael, was that every person at the conference, and there were about 100 of us, was holding the energy for 144 million people.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing.
It's absolutely, and I have visited this and revisited this, and it's something that I think for any of us, it's really hard to get our head around. And it certainly has come up for me, as I've landed, I guess, back in Port St. Lucie and mm-hmm. landed back in my routine, I keep thinking, like, how can this be? What does it mean? What's the impact? And when everything's looking so chaotic, mind you, that's the quality of the sixth dimension, is creative chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean? And so I think part of what I hope Jesus Sananda is going to talk about today is not only what does it mean, because although that was a message given to that group, I know that that gathering was way bigger than the physical people there. I kept seeing all kinds of folks who were bilocating, people I knew, people I didn't know, and that somehow I did know. And it wasn't just the company of heaven. It was, you know, physical human beings from the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be really interesting to explore that a little further as well.
It will be. All right, so I guess it's time for a lovely Yeshi meditation.
Yahoo.
All right.
So let's begin. Let's begin this wonderful month of December. As the year comes to the close, in the quietude and the silence of our hearts, of the night, of the shorter days, and yes, in the other hemisphere, the longer days, by coming into your heart, coming into that wellspring of love, where your essence, your being, your love resides. Feel yourself sinking into the chair or the floor or the bed or your car seat, wherever you are, and letting go of the week, letting go of your to-do list, and allowing yourself to truly be here. The color, the ray of Jesus Ananda is magenta, that beautiful claret color, that blend and balance of the red of vitality and the blue of change, of peace, serenity. Breathe in that beautiful wine magenta color. In through your nose, out through your mouth. And with each exhale, feel yourself going deeper and deeper into your heart, into that sense of quiet, where the outer world simply fades away into the sacred temple of your soul, of your light. In every Council of Love class, gathering, webinar, etc., there is always a gift. And the gift that was given to us by Jesus Ananda recently in Sedona was the gift of the ruby of his sacred heart. And astonishingly, this is what he wants to give us all this day. So I'm just going to step aside. Greetings, I am Jesus Ananda.
Welcome.
And welcome to each and every one of you. Welcome, my beloved friends, my beloved family. And yes, it is time for these gifts to be shared broadly, widely, and bestowed upon each and every one of you. I give you the gift of my sacred heart. I give you the gift of my love, of my will, of my fortitude, of my courage, and of my willingness to be of service, in and out of form, above, below, and far beyond. For my journey, my mission, my purpose, and hence my gift to each of you, my beloved friends, is no different than yours. Yes, you come from every quadrant of the universe, of the multiverse, of the omniverse. and you are pathfinder and wayshower and portal and pillar. You are healer and teacher and communicator. And each of you has a delightful expression of your divinity in and out of form. And those expressions of in and out of form have merged, have united, and are fortified with the beauty of the ruby and the strength of that stone. This is a time when you continue to go forward, not ignoring what appears to be chaos, what appears to be, in some ways, backpedaling, forward pedaling. It matters not. For your mission and purpose, the truth of your being, your expression, does not change, not fundamentally. Now, how you bring that forth is in a constant state of adjustment. Because you do not express merely for yourself, merely for the mother, merely for the council of love or the company of heaven. You express for one another. You experience love for one another. So you adjust how you approach, how you interact. But never do you adjust the love. For that is freely given, freely taken, freely exchanged. You feel that you have seen a great deal that has discouraged you during now what I continue to call these extraordinary times. But what I say to you, what does this mean, this very word, extraordinary? It means above and beyond, out of the ordinary. It has not been business as usual for some time. And these extraordinary times continue. And sweet angels, that is good news. But your role, your sacred mission and purpose, and how you approach this does not fundamentally change. You may change some aspects, some elements, but who you are and who you have always been, it may expand in terms of your knowingness of that brilliance. We have always known how beautiful, magnificent, brilliant, and powerful each of you are. And so you say to me, Lord, if I am that powerful, why has not more change, more substance, more evidence come to pass? And what I say is, look around you. No, not in a way to dismiss your yearning for a substantial, visible, measurable shift, because I am right next to you in that. But do not deny the progresses that are being made. You are the extraordinary element in this change, my friends. And what I suggest to you humbly and expectantly is that you have no idea how powerful you are. And yes, your thoughts, your feelings, your energy field, your actions influence, affect, and take a group, a large group. Yes, the mother has suggested as large as 144 million that you affect these beings and that you act. You feel, you think, you hold space, for each of you are different, on their behalf. Now, what does this mean? Let us start at the beginning. We are talking beings. First and foremost, we are talking about the human race, those who in the humanoid form occupy Gaia in this very moment. So we are not referring to the kingdoms, to the devas, to the various elementals. They're doing just fine. They are already firmly anchored in the higher realms and dimensions. So it is a practical matter. And then when you finish with the human race, the humanoid race, then you are also holding this energy for the planets that you are going to be working with in future times. Now, we don't want to boggle your minds because you are very concerned with what is happening upon Terra Gaia at this moment. So just simply know that the ripple effect is reaching other planetary systems that you will be working with in the future and laying that foundation for their ascension as well. Leave it at that. Now, what does it mean in practical terms? It means that when you hold the love, when you hold the positive creation thought, action, feeling, belief, paradigm, structure, you know the drill, that you are doing so for a very, very broad spectrum of people. Those who are reluctant, those who are disinterested, those who are recalcitrant, and those who are fully on board but don't know how to proceed. What does it mean in practical terms that you are affecting them? The theme of this time, as we have enunciated in our gathering in Sedona, is kindness and courage, courage and kindness. When you act, when you hold a position that comes from a place of valor, of courage, of bravery, but not tinged with any sense of rape or pillage or desire to control, when it is absolutely paired with loving kindness. Think of it in this way, that you are taking that thought, that paradigm, that belief, that action, and literally going to the front door of your apartment, your office, your house, and bringing it across the street, across the hall, and giving it, literally, to another human being. What you are saying on a subtle level is, I have this quality. I have this most precious gift of love wrapped up with bows and paper of courage and kindness, and I am giving it to you. I am bequeathing it to you. Now, you say to your neighbor, friend, office mate, colleague, or enemy, you are saying, now I am not assuming that you do not have your own courage and kindness, your own ability to move mountains and change societies, structures, institutions, etc. But it is out of my love and respect and honoring of you that I give you this gift, because I know from personal experience that you can never have too much love. So I am acting on your behalf, and I am giving you this gift. You say, well, how can I do this for that many people? And this is where you do not have the belief in your own power, in your own alignment, your own trust in the Father, Mother, One, to perform such miracles. I understand. When I walked the earth before, and I've done so many times, but when I walked the earth before, I tended to work one by one by one, knowing that if I affected the heart, the mind, the soul of one person, then my message would spread. That knowingness of love would spread like wildfire. And that is exactly what happened. You know, there is much talk about how I would gather large groups. But in that time, when I walked as Yeshua, a large group was maximum about a couple of hundred people. So you are talking to millions. Now, I do not say this or share this or amplify this in order to make you nervous or feel like you have need to measure up. I am simply sharing with you a universal fact so that you realize the importance and the magnitude of what you are doing, and that you look in practical reality to how your thoughts and actions and feelings are affecting others. Known and unknown, seen and unseen. We keep saying this because it is important to realize you don't always immediately get to witness the impact or the effect of what you are doing. But that does not mean it is not there. Now, dearest Suzanne, where do you wish to begin this day?
Oh, thank you. I'm lost in thought here. This is so big and so wonderful, and I'm very happy that you're here to talk to us. I love this reminder for some and permission slip for others that we have what we need, and if we just hold the love, to understand that our work goes out quite far in influence and to let go of disbelief. So it's a matter of perception for the most part, although expanding perception is a process to see ourselves clearly without the filters that wounding has brought to us. So that's why our work is so important to clear. So our expanding awareness and skills could also relate to the body. So we could talk to the body and rearrange things. So is it really that the belief that we can't do such a thing is the only hurdle to tapping into that innate skill?
It is that fundamental belief and knowing of who you are. It isn't just in what you are thinking of or what some of you who are listening may be thinking of as your body. It is in your entire field. And the clearing that has gone on now for years has been substantial. And yet there is still in many of you, which is why we are sharing this information, this hesitancy. And you sometimes, this hesitancy, let me complete my sentence, this hesitancy to accept or to acknowledge the power of what you are doing. For some of you it is emotional, for some of you it is mental, for some of you it is causal and it is based in other lifetimes. It is this recognition of the significance of what you are doing, because that is from whence the biggest changes come.
Right.
So it isn't merely in your physical body, it is in all of your essence, shall we say. Now, the other thing that occurs, and this is your delightful ego that so many of you strive diligently to get under control, to your own demise. Because what you will often do is you will say, well, I can affect millions. And then you think, no, no, cancel, cancel. That is ego speaking. That is not ego speaking. That is your soul speaking. And so let go of judgment. And this is a theme right now as well. Letting go of judgment of others, yes. But also letting go of yourself. You are thinking of yourself in a very limited way. And I want you to stop.
You know what might be really helpful is if you were to speak to the energies that are happening. Like what is happening to our bodies right now? We're feeling... it's not just me, feeling pretty not having juice for a lot of things, basically feeling juiceless and wanting to rest quite a lot. And I know that's been spoken to, but please tell me that there's lots of other things going on that we're involved in that we're not really consciously aware of.
That is exactly the case, because most of you, and I am addressing all those who are love holders, light workers, have agreed, again on a soul level, to what would your expression be, up the ante. And that is the reference that the mother has made, and that I am also speaking to, that you have upped the ante in terms of how many you are holding yourself accountable for.
Oh.
Now this is, for some of you, beyond imagination. But think of it. before, you may have been working for 1,000 or 10,000 or even some of you 1,000,000. Now you have expanded that to the nth degree. And so your efforts at pushing that ripple effect have completely gone off the scale. So of course you are exhausted. Your body is adjusting to you saying, your expression might be, let's get this show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Repeatedly, my beloveds, we have said, you are our ground crew.
Mm-hmm.
You are the implementers of the Mother's Plan. No, you do not do this alone. Never have we been so engaged as we are right now.
Oh.
But you have never been so engaged either.
Oh, truly so. Absolutely. As a collective as well. And if I might, there's a situation, as you're aware, I'm sure. I see the beauty and positive side of the Dakota Access Pipeline situation. And while it's hardly a unique scenario on this planet, what is unique is how powerfully people have responded. Would it be accurate to say that there's no more support for the extraction and transportation of fossil fuels and all that sort of thing, but what's happening with people and the unification of the tribes and the different tribes, and I just see this as a really gorgeous happening, to be honest.
This is very important for all of you to look at, because you are always saying to us, show us a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an example.
Yes.
Now, so many of you, including, of course, many of the Native people, were very distressed. If you take this back even years ago, and the feeling of powerlessness and abuse and the abuse of money, there was a sense of desperation and a sense of being manipulated. What started out as fear and anger, which is why we have said repeatedly that this is a process. So what started out looking, can we say, quite dim, has evolved, not only in terms of the fulfillment of prophecy, but also in the realm of the Native American Indian peoples, plural, reassuming their role as guardians of Gaia, and that they have been joined by many. This is as much an expression of empowerment and the direction of humanity as many other things you see. The processes are already underway. And what you are seeing, even if you have never actively supported and simply held space for this undertaking, you are seeing the power of holding space, taking action, being proactive, being courageous, being kind.
Yes.
It is not about destroying anything. The only thing that can be destroyed no longer exists, which is the old paradigm of the third. It does not exist any longer. So there are many who are trying to recreate it, but it is not possible. So what you are seeing is the emergence, the birthing of the new.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I'm in there's nothing to worry about mode, but I know that there are many people who are concerned and say, are they going to go ahead with the pipeline anyway? Energy Transfer Partners is saying that they really don't care what the president says and they're going to keep digging. And everybody's worried about a Donald Trump presidency. I'm not worried about any of these things, but I know our listeners are. So would you speak to those things a little bit, please?
When you spend your time in dismay, in worry, and I am not speaking of being alert and aware of what is transpiring, but when you spend your time in fear, what you are literally doing is halting the flow of any form of forward thrust or creation. So for those who are spending their time worrying, what they are doing, and I do not say this as critique, but you are looking backwards. You are freezing yourself with your head looking over your shoulder rather than looking ahead to what is possible.
Right.
When I incarnated, I was aware of what lay ahead. And I could have spent all of my time simply worrying about the day when they hauled me off and killed me. And nothing would have been achieved. There are those still in your society that would like to haul you off and nail you to a cross. If you spend all your time worrying about that, then nothing is achieved. Look at the level of change that is occurring. Stop judging it and allow, because of the positive nature of what you are doing, holding, projecting, rippling across the universe, look at what you are doing and the changes you are affecting.
Yes.
And when it seems that it is stalled, for example, by elections, realize that this is part of the process and the unfoldment of the plan is going forward more clearly. Do you really think that an American election can stop the unfoldment of the plan of the mother?
Oh,
my beloved friends, of course not. We can adjust. And more importantly, you are adjusting. What you are seeing is the outcry of a populace that is saying, we are exhausted and we want change. We are hurting and we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Approach it in that manner.
Okay. So is there anything we can do for the populace aside from our personal work and holding the light and love and all that sort of thing? I'm not sure that, like, is there a responsibility further than that?
There most certainly is. Now, for some of you, you form the grids. For others of you, you hold the space. But for many of you, for most of you, you take concerted, positive action. And you say, but I am exhausted, Yeshi. I am tired and I need to rest. Go ahead and rest. But every action, whether it is on a global scale, a community scale, a national scale, a family scale, a neighborhood scale, has to come from a place of kindness, of love. If it is recriminatory, if it is filled with fault and blame, hatred and shame, then what is the point?
Well,
You are wiser. You are wiser than those who believe themselves powerless or hurting. So what you are doing in every action, whether it is on the street, at the supermarket, or on a much bigger scale, depending on who you are. But never before has it been more important to step forward in action in accordance with your mission and purpose. So, for example, let us be practical, because this is a time when practicality is needed. If you are a healer, are you offering healing to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family? Are you joining healing circles? Are you gathering? Are you participating in healing meditations, both for Gaia and for all of the participants, the humanoids, on Gaia? Are you doing this, or are you saying, oh, it looks hopeless? Are you sending courage and kindness? Are you fortifying the collective that is daily out there trying to earn enough money to pay the rent and buy food? Or are you standing back and saying, I will wait until such time as I have sufficient money and then I will send money? No, in the meantime, there is a great deal you can be doing. If you are a communicator, are you writing and speaking, channeling, discussing with friends and families and the entire planet ways in which kindness and love can be utilized, or are you spending it in recrimination and judgment? Are you saying, the company of heaven has not given us this, so we are giving up? None of you give up. You are the most stalwart throughout the omniverse. You have never, ever turned away. So is it a time of action in accordance with who you are? It absolutely is. So it is not just holding a kind thought. It is in everything you do. Is it in alignment with the truth of who you are?
Well, I think it's time to quit underestimating our superpowers and just get with calling it sacred play and say, hey, can I do this? Well, I want to do it. And my imagination, I can certainly do it in my imagination. So, yeah, let's get going.
That is it exactly, sweet angel.
Yeah.
That is it exactly.
Wow. Well, would you be willing to speak at all to the process of our ascension, where we are in it, and as a collective, and is there a tipping point? I mean, I feel like, honestly, I feel like we're past the tipping point, and it's just, well, anyway, would you speak to that?
You are past the tipping point. Otherwise, we would not be having this level or this intensity of conversation. We would not be talking about how you are working with millions and millions and millions of people. Now think of it in this way. You are working with millions, but the millions that you are working with are also working with millions. So think of the multiplier, the squaring effect that is taking place. Do not look to what you think of as the obvious, as the indicator in terms of how you are doing with your ascension process. The tipping point was reached recently, and the floodgates have certainly opened wide. So you are in a place where you are shifting in the blink of an eye into the truth of who you are, collectively and individually. Are there those upon your planet at this time, despite the collective decision to ascend as one, who continue to not want that, not choose that, not decide that. Yes, there are. And that is absolutely all right. But that does not mean, let me be very clear on this, because this will be a point of great conversation, that does not mean that the ascension of the collective is not going to occur.
Okay.
They will return home, go elsewhere. It matters not. But the push, known and unknown, there are those that do not think, and it does not matter in terms of collective ascension, but they yearn for love. They yearn for a planet, a community that is based on equality and fairness, generosity and freedom. And it expresses differently in different cultures, different societies, different nations. But that collective yearning and the willingness to do what it takes physically and spiritually is in place.
Mm-hmm.
All do not have the same conception of what that means. And that doesn't matter either. You do not need to know, shall we say, the science of ascension in order to ascend. And that is very important for people to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Let go of the how.
You do not even know the how.
Yeah.
And it does not matter.
It does not.
So in your ascension process, let us say that you are on a straight directory, trajectory to the heart of the mother.
It sounds delightful.
You are very, very close. And I do not mean soon. I mean immediate.
Yeah, the interesting. It's an interesting thing, living with a foot in both worlds, and of course, increasingly, you know, we do have to go out and go food shopping, you know, that sort of thing. But it's just an interesting process.
It is a difficult process, and one that I fully understand, and it is part of your adjusting to your interdimensional, multidimensional, higher dimensional, if I can use that word, higher dimensional self. You do not live simply in a what we would refer to as a 3D reality, time and space and form and matter. It is more complex, more free, more expansive than that. And that is particularly true when you are dealing with a third dimensional that is in transition. So when you are projecting yourself into that reality, it is very important, my sweet ones, that that is how you think of it and conceive of it, that you are projecting or sending yourself, injecting yourself into that form, into that process in reality, but that you don't live there. And that is that sense of somewhat of dislocation. And let me tell you, and I can speak again from that personal experience, is that it is a difficult physical thing to do. And that also contributes to your sense of ennui and exhaustion. It is not simply lethargy or laziness, sweet angels. It is that you are physically being challenged because you are holding this multitude of expanded energies in ways that you were not used to. You were just getting used to the tsunami of love, the tsunami of one, the expansion energies, 11-11, and here we go, upping the ante again. You have every right to be exhausted, but be very clear when you go out into the world. For some of you, it is acting on a global level. For some of you, it is going food shopping. Both are equally important, and both are equally important that you present, engage, and involve yourself in kind and loving ways, courageous ways. And that means speaking of the truth, not just in terms of blame or shame, but the truth of love. But it is exhausting.
Wow.
So know that you are sending yourself, but you aren't living there.
Right. And well, we could bring that to every aspect of our lives and any conversation that we have as well. Okay, so there's been some thought in the past about when, okay, the raising of consciousness and the rehydration of prosperity on the planet. Who knew when that was going to happen? Was the consciousness going to come first? Was the money going to come first? And at this point, it feels like our consciousness is raising so quickly that the money is not even going to be an issue. But, you know, we're all still looking for the end of suffering, and the money hydration would certainly go a long way towards that. Can you say anything about that?
What I will say is that the consciousness has always come first. It is necessary. And let us use the word consciousness and expand that to heart consciousness. The presence of clarity, of the mother's purity, in terms of that heart consciousness, is a prerequisite to the what you call the hydration of prosperity across the planet. We are not going to encourage, let us put it that way, the blossoming of prosperity for those who would use it to annihilate the human race. So the alignment with the higher purpose of the creation of Nova Earth has been very, very important. That is why my brother, Archangel Michael, has always talked about spiritual currency. First comes the spiritual currency, and then comes the physical currency. If it is not in alignment, then what we are doing is arming bandits.
Okay, so cleanup has to happen first, is what this, what the answer
and
is.
And the cleanup is underway, dear heart. You've seen that.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are not saying that the entire house needs to be pristine and sparkling before that happens. You can have money to hire Molly Maid.
I like that. Okay, thank you. All right. So I guess we're coming to the end of our lovely show, and I really love this conversation. It's fabulous. Have you got anything to say in closing?
Yes. You are so much more powerful, integrated, whole, further along than you think, my beloved friends. I give you my sacred heart, and I ask you once again to please come and walk with me. We, all of us, are ready, willing, and more than able. We are with you. Go with my love.
Ah. Thank you.
Farewell.
May the long time sun shine upon. Mm-hmm.